So, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today, we're going to talk about the first journey of St. Paul. And I'm hoping that while we just, like, try to understand what happened in this journey, come out with real lessons that affect our life. Because there is no point of just like going to a talk and you don't walk out with something that is beneficial to your life. It becomes a waste of time. Okay? And I was once talking to people and I asked them, what is the definition of the best sermon or the best talk ever? Do you know? No one got the right answer, actually. So it's not about the eloquence of the speaker. It's not about how good it was prepared. It is about, did this talk or did this sermon change anything in my life or not? If you walk out and you took nothing from it, it's a waste of time. Well, if it's like a seed that probably down the road it will lead to something, so it's not really a waste of time. And oftentimes, and that's the reason we come to church, we listen to things and we hear things, and down the road we remember, oh, I heard that, and it's beneficial. So it does not really become a waste of time. But the true waste of time is that it does not do anything into your life now or forever. We agree on that? There are saints who heard something and on the spot, they applied it into their life. Like the story of Saint Anthony the Great, right? He listened to something, he heard it, and he just like applied what he heard, done. So I'm going to show you a quick 7 minutes documentary. And after this documentary, we will probably just like discuss the journey and what are the lessons that we could learn from that first journey.
Where is this coming from? Thank you.
Okay, so the journey that we saw, the documentary that we saw in like probably like 7 minutes, that was a journey that took around somewhere between 2.5 and 3 years, right? So this is what we're gonna try to go in depth. We're gonna try to see the main highlight of what happened, and then we're gonna talk about it together. What is in it for me, okay? So the three preachers that started this first journey were St. Paul, St. Barnabas, and St. Mark. We call him John Mark, okay? So it happened around the year 45, between the year 45 and 47 approximately. And as we saw here, they departed from Antioch in Syria. And we remember their first stop was in Cyprus. And if you remember the documentary, they traveled inland from east to west in Cyprus. There were no means of communication other than probably walking or using like donkeys and stuff at that time. And then they traveled by sea to the area of Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey. And then back at the end to Antioch, okay? So quickly, Keda, who is St. Barnabas? Do we know who is St. Barnabas? No? Okay. So St. Barnabas was born in Cyprus, and he was born from, he's a Jew, from a Jewish family. And then he heard about Jesus, so he goes to Jerusalem, and he was so just like, you know, into the faith, to the point where he went back after what he heard and what he saw, and he had a land that he sold, and he brought all the money, and he went back to Jerusalem and put it at the feet of the apostles. And his name actually changed. They gave him the name of Barnabas. And he became one of the 70 apostles. That's St. Barnabas. And he is also the uncle of St. Mark. St. Mark, who preached the Christianity in Egypt. St. Barnabas is his uncle. He's the brother of his mother, Mariam. Okay? We know the story of St. Paul. I don't probably need to but maybe main highlight in the life of St. Paul. St. Paul, who used to be called Saul of Tarsus, was born in Tarsus, again he's born to a Jewish family, but he became like a Roman citizen. He grew up in Tarsus, and then he went back to Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem, and he became like where he learned, and he became like a Pharisee under a teacher called Gamaliel. And then he became a very violent persecutor to Christians. He was the one guarding the clothes of the people who stoned and killed Stephanos, right? And on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians who started to appear there, we know that Jesus appeared to him, and there happened the great conversion of Saul, and he ordered him after that to go see Ananias because he was blind. And the weird thing is that St. Paul, after this, he did not start his preaching and evangelization right away. He spent 3 years in Arabia. No one knows really the details of what was happening, but imagine this guy, the shock that he had. 3 years he stayed away from Jerusalem, away from Tarsus, and he stayed in a completely different culture, of Arabia. And we don't really know what are the details of what happened to him these 3 years. And then he goes back to Antioch, and then he stays there for almost like 10 years. And then at this time, St. Barnabas goes to Antioch, and he knows St. Paul, and he starts to introduce him to the apostles, who were very skeptical because they knew how he was a fierce persecutor of the church. And slowly they tried to accept him. And then he spent like almost a year of service with St. Barnabas in Antioch in Syria before the Holy Spirit chose them to start their missions to spread the word of God outside the boundaries of Jerusalem and Antioch. And St. Mark, St. Mark, I don't need probably to go over his story, but St. Mark, Jesus used to go spend lots of time at Al-Uliyya, the house where St. Mark used to live, like with his parents. So St. Mark is someone who really lived very close to Jesus, and he has witnessed personally the life of Jesus. So these are the three heroes that started this first missionary journey of tonight. So I'm going to go quickly over the main highlights so that if the sound wasn't very clear in the documentary, I just like try to focus. This is what happened in the first journey. So the Spirit chose Paul and Barnabas. They were, as I said, they were serving for almost a year together in Antioch, in Syria. So they started the journey, and they took St. Mark with them, and then they arrived to Cyprus, and they started preaching in the synagogue there, and then they moved from the far east to the far west, and this is where they met a governor, a Roman governor. His name was Sergius, and actually Sergius was astonished at the beauty of the word of God. And he was accompanied by a sorcerer or a magician. His name was Bar-Jesus or Elimas. This guy tried hard with his wickedness to resist the preachers. So what happened actually is that St. Paul prayed, and he was struck right away. He became blind. He was struck with blindness. And Sergius, the governor, seeing all what's happening, he accepted the faith. And then the word of God attracts multitude of people into the faith. And of course, this will resuscitate lots of jealousy. And this is what happened. The envious Jews started to speak against the gospel. And Paul and Barnabas focused now on the Gentiles. They told them, the Jews, you are supposed to be the one who have the law and take pride in having the law, and you're antagonizing us. They leave them, and they focus their service on the Gentiles. And then they ended up being expelled from the whole area, so they take another ship, and they travel now to what is modern days Turkey, as we said. And then again, they do the same thing. They preach, and then new believers are added into to the faith in different cities. Another miracle happened there. St. Paul heals a man who was born crippled since birth. He never walked. But St. Paul, as he was talking, he saw that this guy had faith, and he understood that he wishes to be healed. So he tells him, stand up on your feet, someone who never walked. And then the guy stand up. When this miracle happened, lots of the Greeks who saw the miracle, at that time they believed that the gods sometimes visit people on earth, and they take the shape of humans. So they thought of Barnabas and Paul that they are the gods coming and visiting them on earth. Forgot to tell you that St. Mark actually left the team and went back to Jerusalem. There was like a dispute and a discord, and you'd be surprised that it does happen. We'll talk about this later on, but this is what happened. The Bible, if you read chapter 13 and 14, it does not give any details about what happened between the three, but it just says that he left them and he went back to Jerusalem. So at this time, those Gentiles, they bring, they come to them, and then they bring, like, they wanted to sacrifice, they wanted to deal with them as if they are gods, not humans. And then just St. Paul and St. Barnabas, they resisted that, and they explained to them that they are just like really nothing else than human beings, like any other human being, and they barely convinced them not to slaughter the sacrifices for them. Right after this incident, St. Paul got stoned and almost died. They stoned him. The Jew came to that spot, and those same people who were cheering for them as gods, they were convinced. And this reminds us of the Jews who were just like when they saw Jesus entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, they were just like cheering, Hosanna, right? And the Bible says that these were the same people who, after this, they shouted, crucify him, crucify him. So easy for people to change sometimes, and just like, you know, the one who, like, you know, look like they are cheering for you could be the ones who want to kill you tomorrow. What happened? An unexpected error has occurred. Please quit and reopen keynote. Like, this is me. Like, you know, if I do anything for God, like, you know, I have games that happen. That's all the time. Oh, that's my wife. Any IT guys in the crowd here? I don't know what's happening. I'm gonna force quit banjo, right? I'm gonna force quit, probably. I don't know what's happening. How do you do force quit? Okay, we'll continue talking while we're trying to get back. So, where were we? St. Paul was stoned and to the point where they thought he was dead, okay? And then they drag him out. And then actually, now that he left him almost dead, he was surrounded by his disciples, his friends' disciples, and then God raises him up. And the next day, he is preaching. The next day, St. Paul, after being stoned to death, he's preaching again. When we get ourselves into an accident, like, you know, a small MVA, and I'm a doctor, I see this all the time. People come to see me because just like, you know, they can't go back to work. just like because someone probably just like, you know, rear-ended them, or and then there is maybe a possible concussion because, you know, my head was shaken, and then people take long time off work. And when I read about this story, someone just like being stoned to death, and then the next day he wakes up and just like he works. There is no time to lose. It amazes me. Okay, so let's continue, guys. So the Gentiles and the Jews continue to accept the gospel, and eventually St. Paul and St. Barnabas return to Antioch in Syria, and they share the story of the faith with the other disciples. Guys, okay? So that's the main highlights of what happened in the first missionary journey. Okay, so let's talk in depth now about what's happening. Please. Oh my God. I don't have it on the iPad. Okay, wait a second. It's frozen. You need to send it by airdrop it? Okay. Okay, so what's in it for me? How do you see this topic tonight as relevant to our life? Guys, let's focus, let's benefit from the talk. What's in it for me? How could that talk, how could this story that we just like went over become relevant to my life? Yusuf. Come on, guys. Is it just like a story, like just like history, a lesson, history lesson that we're going through? Huh? How do you think this is relevant to our life? I need answers. Okay, thank you. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. If I understood you correctly, you mean that when we see what happens into our life, like any like difficulties, and we look what happened with these guys and how the hand of God was working in their life, it strengthens you, right? Okay. So this is one good point. Another point. How is this story relevant to my life other than what she said? Okay. What about... Yes. Okay. Yeah, I'll answer this because it's coming in the talk, because I just like don't want to disturb the sequence. Okay, so you came close to the answer I wanted to hear. Guys, what do you think about, like, we need to evangelize the word. We need to be apostles ourselves. Do you think this is just like something that is meant for everyone sitting here today? Every Christian? Yes or no? Repeat the question? Okay, I'm going to repeat the question. Thank you. Come on, guys. Do you think every one of us is meant to be an apostle, is meant to be a disciple for Christ? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, so who says no? That's going to be easier. You don't think you're meant to be a disciple? Okay. Fanny? Yeah. Thank you very much. The what? Okay. Okay. So I agree with you when 98% of you said that we're supposed to be disciples for Jesus. Yes. And I also agree with you when you said, like, we don't think that we're meant to be like St. Paul or St. Peter, or I tend to agree. However, each one sitting here today is supposed to reflect the image of Jesus to the world around us, whether you like it or not. So we are disciples in one way or another, as we're going to see it. So as we see here, every Christian is required to preach and to spread the word of the God. Maybe not, as we said, the same way they did. No one is asking you to leave your... Well, some people do it, but not everyone is going to do it. No one is asking you to leave your spot, your job, your family, and just like travel and preach. But guess what? We live in a world where the people around us, they need to listen to the word of God. They need to see another Jesus in you. Jesus said, you are the light of the world, and you cannot take a lamp and hide it under a table. He said that. You are the light of the world. So whether we like it or not, we are supposed to shine. The same Holy Spirit that worked in the life of the disciples is the same Holy Spirit that's working today in you and me. It does not change. The difference is probably I might be hindering the work of the Spirit versus other people who did not. And this is what we really need to just get grasp on. If you go back to Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3, it says that The Holy Spirit chose Saint Paul and Saint Barnabas while they were praying, ministering, and fasting. And then the Holy Spirit spoke. And this is an interesting thing, because if you are expecting the Holy Spirit to work in your life, there are things that need to be done. And I don't mean literally like, oh, you have to eat food or so that the Holy Spirit works. This is not what I mean. But the real concept of the fasting, the real concept of the prayer, when these concepts are working into my life, I am, because God just like created us as free human beings. He does not want to force anything on you. He does not want. But if you just like start showing, like, you know, God, I wanna just like know you more. I wanna work with you more. That's enough for God to come and to work through your life. So to make the thing more clear in your mind, who did Jesus pick to become disciples? He picked simple people. People, the Bible tells us they were fishermen, okay? So simple people. But he also picked someone like Saint Luke. He was a doctor, he was an artist, highly educated person. He picked persons who were sinners. He knew that Judas one day is gonna just like, you know, end up losing his life for some silver. And that's a big sin. Like, this guy lost everything, lost hope, and he hung himself. That's a sin. But it did not prevent Jesus from taking a sinner in his crew. If you are a harsh person like St. Paul, we're talking about St. Paul, when he was just like Saul, he was a violent, very violent persecutor of the Christian. Like, he was chosen as one of the probably the most influential apostles in history. St. Matthew, the Levi, he was a tax collector, and at that time the Bible tells us that everyone used to hate like the tax collectors. So just like to give you an idea that it's not because you are a good person in church or whatever that you are going to be the one. No, God works with any kind of human being. Put this into your mind. The ways of preaching now, we're getting into what you guys were talking about. It could be spreading the word. Some people, God has given them the gift of, you know, how to be charming, and they have eloquent speech. This is a gift. And it does miracles sometimes. But sometimes people, we know, they hear the sermons and it does not affect their life. But this is one way of serving. There is the service for the poor, you know, for the needy, for the orphans, for the, you know, prisoners. That's another type of preaching and service. If you tell me, probably just like, you know, I don't know how to do it, but you are, your life is a living Bible. That's the best preaching, even if you don't know how to open your mouth. Believe me, guys, if we change our lives and we become as the Bible teaches us, we become like living Bibles, people around you are going to see the light. They are going to see Jesus. We know that, yes. Do I have what? Like, if someone like oppose your faith, well, it's not an obligation, but like, I mean, I think we always pray first. You always pray first that God gives you the right time and the wisdom to know how to deal with these people. So I don't have like, you know, just like a quick right answer for this situation, but you might not want, maybe you don't want to respond on the spot. You might probably pick another time to reach out to that person, or the situation is such that you have to respond right now. So, but my answer is, like, I would, in this situation, I would probably just like pause and pray and think, and then just like God will probably lead me to. So I don't know how to answer this one. Okay, number 4. Why aren't we preaching? why aren't we involved in that, just like, you know, evangelization of the word? And we said it's not about just taking a ship and go somewhere. You can be preaching in the place of where you work. I could be preaching by just like, you know, the way I act with my patients, with my staff. That could be a preaching. But the question here is, why aren't we preaching? I put a few ideas here, but there might be more. I thought number one of, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is what we sometimes think of ourselves. God, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. So when Jesus asked me to go feed the thousands of people, I'm going to say, well, that doesn't make sense. I only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And this is what hits us more. Guys, it's not about us. And that's why there is a story like this, a miracle like this in the Bible. God allowed, it's crazy for other people when they hear about this, they think of us as crazy people. Do you believe this thing? Yes, we do believe. But the Bible allowed something like this to happen to tell you that even if you have 5 loaves and you think low of yourself, bring this little thing at the feet of Jesus and he will bless it. He will do a miracle. So that's one thing you have to always keep in mind. Number two, one of the things that does not really push people to go talk to others about God, guess what? You don't have this inner life with God. You don't know about him. How can I talk to other people about God when me, myself, I have no life with him? In Arabic, we have this saying that says, "Fakad al-shay' la yati." If I'm lacking something, I cannot give it to you because I don't have it. So that's another thing. And you have to be cautious. Ask yourself, do I have a life rooted in God or not? Before you want to go and talk to people. Or maybe ask yourself, maybe I'm not able to talk to people because I discover that me, myself, I need maybe someone to preach me. Or another reason why we don't want to preach is we are afraid of the stoning, right? We've seen all, like the Bible tells us, it did not lie to us. Most of the disciples, except St. John, they died, they were martyred, they were killed. And many times they were tortured before they ended up being beheaded, right? So maybe I am afraid of the stoning. I sometimes when I talk to patients in the office, and I just like, you know, talk to people, and they say, you're going to get yourself in trouble very soon. I know that, but sometimes I feel like I can't, but just like I have to. Like, you know, if God gives me an opportunity and I just like shy away from using it, that's not good. That's not good. So another thing that probably holds us from just like, you know, taking this step in preaching might be the fear of stoning. Or you don't do this because you honestly, I don't care. Like Christianity for me, just like it's just like a lifestyle. I was born, my parents took me to church. I didn't even say yes to baptism, but I am baptized Christian. So you know what? That's just like it's a lifestyle. So what are you talking about? What preaching are you talking about? That could be another reason. So guys, like everyone, or each one, Yani, Saraha, like, you know, go over this and just like think it over and just like try to find out what is stopping you from becoming the light of the word. Another lesson that we learned today, the fake crowd, and honestly, don't be one of these fake crowd. The synagogues where the disciples entered to preach, it was full of Jews. The Jews were the Jews. Okay, I'm tired. Jews, not the juice. The Jews. They took pride. They took pride in being the nation that God has chosen. They took pride that they are. Moses took the law from the hand of God. They are the chosen people. But they were the first people who got Jesus on the cross. And then they were behind all the persecution of the disciples. And we saw here that they managed to convince the Gentiles to stone St. Paul. So you could be in the church, you could be inside the church, but you could be a fake crowd. So this is very important. So they ministered, they prayed, they knew the law. Like, it's like me when I know how to pray, how to praise, how to sing, but I am a fake crowd. So that's a lesson that we need to learn as well. Speaking of the Jews and resisting the word of God, why do you think we resist the word of God? Like, if someone comes to us and preach, why do we resist? I thought of two things. Resisting could be because there is a sin in my life, and I'm complacent with it. I like it, and it will stop there. I'm not ready to give up this sin. This is one type of resistance to the word of God. There is another type of resistance. It's my ego standing in the way. Those people who wanted the disciples killed, even though they were not really just like doing anything harmful, they were just like talking about, if you read the principles of what Jesus wanted to teach people, it's beautiful. If you read the Sermon on the Mountain, the three chapters, it's beautiful. Even if you go talk to someone who, whatever religion, and then just like you share with them what Jesus was teaching, this is beautiful. So why do you want these people stoned? So the two chapters tell us, like, you know, they were jealous. They were jealous to see the crowd following them. Because if you read these two chapters again carefully, it says that after they finished preaching into the synagogue and they went out, the crowd just like, they went behind them and they followed them. And they asked them to talk to them again the next week. And then the next week, the Bible says that almost the entire town was gathering there. So the Jews, seeing this, they were very jealous. They were very jealous, right? So my ego is standing there. Like, you know, it's like when I'm serving here and then God sends another servant who's like, wow, like, you know, like people are following him and I start just like, you know, I want this servant to just like to disappear. I don't want him in this church. Why? Because maybe it's hurting my ego. It's just like, you know, he's pulling all the crowd behind him. That's another way, another reason why we sometimes resist the word of God. So in the life of a faithful servant, let's say you are a faithful servant, but you're facing resistance. First thing, remind yourself that this is a sign that you're doing something right. If you are a servant and you're faced with a faithful servant and you're faced with resistance, Satan is working. Satan is trying to stop you. Like, I've always been bragging about Apple. It does not freeze, it blah, blah, blah. And you saw it tonight. Like, you know, this is the first time. I don't know why it's freezing. Never happened. But just like, you know, yeah, there will be just like signs that tell you that, yeah, it is very annoying, but these signs tell you that Satan is working. So if Satan is working, it means that you're trying faithfully to do something. So I don't know about your comfort level. It does not feel good when you're just like, you know, you're wanting things to be done and to get done. And then just like, you know, Satan plays games with you. But it's fun. One thing we learn here, the resistance, we saw the three preachers, which are supposed to, like, reflect the true image of Christianity and love. Guys, we are human beings. We're different. Those people had a discord between them that led that St. Mark leaves the group and go back to Jerusalem. The Bible, like the Holy Spirit who inspired the people who wrote it, could have just like hide this part. But no, just to tell you that we are human beings. We could have different opinions. We were talking in the servants' meeting last Sunday, and we said something beautiful. The love does not change. So I might love you, and this is not going to change, but I might not like the way you do, which is true. Okay? There's nothing wrong about that. As we saw here, we learned also that the resistance to the Word of God, actually, while it's frustrating, it ends up just like you end up seeing the opposite. Like, you know, it leads to the spread of the Word of God. As we believe, like, you know, the verse that says, all things work out together for the good of who believe. Another lesson that we learned tonight is you have to always remember that it's God's hands that work. It's not you. It is not you. The miracles that happen through you, it's the Holy Spirit working. So the miracles that we saw today, like, you know, when St. Paul struck this guy with blindness on the spot, or when he said, stand up on your feet and walk for the crippled man, or the healing of St. Paul himself when he was stoned to death. These are three miracles that we saw into this first journey. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. So you have to rejoice that the Holy Spirit is working. As we saw the disciples, when they were just like met with resistance, they would move from point A to point B. In real life, you can flee resistance, but don't flee the service. So if I anger you here, and you say, I'm not going to go to this church anymore because this guy, I don't like him. Like, you know, okay, go somewhere else, but don't abandon the service. It's very hurtful when you see people leaving the church and then just like they stop serving and then that's it for them. And we see lots of these examples. Lots of examples, they were stumbled by people in the church and they end up just like going out, but they don't do anything to save themselves or to continue the journey of preaching. So flee from evil, but don't flee from the service. And this is what we saw in the two chapters. Satan's old techniques. When St. Paul did a huge miracle and asked this guy to stand up, and he did, people thought of them as gods. Well, that's a glory for people to think that I have an extraordinary power, right? The response of St. Paul and St. Barnabas was just like it showed, like the Bible showed us how they hardly managed to convince these people that they are just like humble human beings like anyone else. So always flee the glory. You might get stoned. Here what happened is Satan tried to use the same old technique that happened in the paradise. If you eat this apple, you're going to be like God. Same thing here. They were trying to bribe them. Like, you know, Satan was trying to just like, you know, make them forget now about what you're doing. You're becoming like God. It doesn't work this way. So the paragraph right after was about the stoning of St. Paul. So this did not work, then what is going to work is that, stoning. Last thing, the two disciples went back to Antioch in Syria and they shared the good news with the other disciples. So always remember that, you know, when God does something good in your life, always remember to praise God and just like talk about what he does in your life. And finally, I just like some thoughts. Make their life, these disciples, make their life becomes yours. Where, like, prayer, it doesn't become like just like a daunting exercise. Prayer is a secret language of love between you. It's like two lovers. They want to just like stay away from the eyes of everyone else to feel the love and to live the love. If you don't have this life of prayer, there is something missing. There is something missing. Like you need to maybe at the beginning force yourself to pray and to pray and to pray, and then you're going to fall in love with that. And then prayer does not become like a heavy exercise. No, it becomes like precious moments where it's like secretly you're talking to God and God is talking to you. So same thing for the praise and chanting hymns and praises. It's not just like, you know, spending time. No, it's a language between you and God. Service is when you do a service, you are meeting. It's not just like, you know, to show off. No, service means I'm meeting the person of Jesus Christ in whom I'm serving. So if you're, and this is what Jesus told us, like, you know, you came to see me when I was sick, you came to visit me when I was in prison. And then they said, when did we do that, God? And he said, every time you do this to, like, you know, the people around you, you did it to me. So service becomes like meeting with the person of Jesus Christ in what you're doing. And finally, if there is pain in your service, you're going to find that this pain is mixed with joy and peace that surpass all understanding. This is the life of a Christian. It's like a coin that has two faces. One face shows the pain. If you flip the coin, there is peace and joy. This is what the disciples went through and what they lived. So I'm hoping that, like, this journey, we come out from it not only just like some knowledge about what happened, but what's in it for you is that you are a disciple. You are yourself a person who is supposed to take Jesus and pass him on to another person. Okay, so any questions? We need to finish. It's 10:25, sorry. We can talk about the answer downstairs. Okay? So, no questions? Good, okay. Let's pray, and then we'll eat pizza together, guys. In the name of the Father, and the Holy Spirit, we thank you, God, for our gathering today, and we thank you for opening our eyes on three amazing disciples who risked their life to spread the word. Give us the power to shine your light among other people. Bless our families and bless our life through the intercession of our pure Virgin Mary and all the saints that we've been since the beginning. Hear us when we pray, thankfully, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.